Shoes.
Recorded live.
Hello, everybody. This is Rick, and this is the sixth of whatever month this is. December, excuse me there. While I get my act together. So we'll begin our questions. This is the Q&A call for the Affair Recovery website. I am the hurt spouse. My husband continues to pair up what he feels are the other issues in our marriage with the infidelity issue. This is very hurtful to me, and when I address this with him, he says that there's no way he cannot do that. He says that if these communication or other issues would not have been there, he would not have had an affair. What are your feelings on this, and how are we ever going to repair our marriage? Thanks. Well, I mean, my position on that is simply two people can be in a really lousy marriage, and typically only one has an affair. So bad marriages do not cause affairs. So you've got to really look at what causes one person to have an affair and what causes another person not to have an affair. It's not to say that there aren't marital problems. In fact, all marriages, two-thirds of all the issues, are unsolvable to begin with. But what happens, you know, you cannot use the marriage as an excuse for having an affair. There are a lot of other options besides having an affair to a bad marriage, such as, you know, you could sit there and separate. You could sit there and demand that they do counseling. You could sit. There's a million other options besides having an affair. Now, he may see affair as the only option to him, but I know that when I was in the midst of all of my infidelity, one of the really interesting things, I had so limited my understanding and perception of everything, I really had justified a lot of what I did by using the marriage. I didn't even know how to look at myself. So an answer, what do you do with that? I would say to him, you know, two people can be in a bad marriage. Only one has an affair. So it's not the marriage that causes the affair. That's another thing. Not saying we don't have issues in the affair, but those are two separate issues. The other piece of this, it's really important. You cannot deal, however, with the marital issues, I believe, until you first deal with the breach created by the infidelity. And I don't know if he understands that, but you know, it was my bad for creating the breach in our marriage. And I had to take responsibility for that. And I had to, you know, do what was necessary for me to help at least create a committed relationship for us to begin to work on. And if you don't first heal the breach, there's really no relationship to begin to work on in the marriage. So I hope that helps. I think that if he would do something like 911 marriage, I would, you know, if you can go talk to a marriage counselor who understands this sort of stuff, potentially reading After the Affair, The Myth of Monogamy by Peggy Vaughn, maybe some other books if he would read that. Maybe he could listen to some of the podcasts or talk, get a mentor on the website. There's several things I think that would maybe be useful for him. But, you know, yours would be the first. I mean, I'm not saying that people aren't miserable in marriages, so I think I certainly want to validate that for him. It's just, you know, why we have affairs deals a lot more with us individually instead of why we don't go shopping or why we don't go do this. I mean, that's about a break, you know, that's something in my personality. And because it betrays or it breaks that bond, something's got to be done to help with that rupture. And the person that has to address that rupture is the one who caused it, and that would be him. Number two, pain abounds in the holidays. One second here. The holidays seem to be so difficult for people here on the forums, as well as others I know outside of Affair Recovery, who are struggling with infidelity issues. There are so many triggers, so many memories that used to be good, happy things, so we once believed. However, now, in light of having our lives blown apart by the infidelity, all of what now seems to be, that all seems now to be in question. Everything we once thought we knew about our lives feels like nothing more than a lie or a sham. I don't know what to believe anymore. Everywhere you go, church, work, shopping, everywhere you look, there are people whose lives seem to be quite normal and happy. But for people deep in the middle of such raw pain, nothing seems that real or simple anymore. It can be awfully painful, and you feel like your whole life is coming to a screeching halt, yet life goes on for others as if nothing's wrong. The feeling is hard to describe, yet it's so easy to see this pain on the forum post these days. Infidelity is never an easy thing to work through, but it seems like holidays are just the worst time for so many. My heart breaks, especially for those whose pain is fresh. And this year, for the first time, they're facing the holidays in the wake of their own crisis of infidelity. Please explain to those who may be new to affair recovery why holidays are so difficult. Also, how you go about reclaiming peace and the reason for the season when everything feels so shattered and ugly. Well, so especially, I think, at this time of year, holidays are about connecting, and they're about coming together, and they're also about the story of us and the story that has held us together. What happens as a result of infidelity, especially if it seems like there have been secrets that have gone on for a number of years, you know, it feels, first off, it feels like the previous good memories that have been anchors, kind of the bulwarks of our life that make us feel that good about us as a couple, or maybe good about us as a family, all of that now seems to be cast into doubt. And so you wonder, as you go through the holiday season, was that real? You know, one of the things Leslie says that I believe is so appropriate is that for people who have been unfaithful, please remember, it's like there were two sets of books. It's not that everything you experienced with your mate or with your family was a lie. It's not. You know, I can look back, and due to the compartmentalization, I mean, I was very present. I really enjoyed it. I wasn't faking. You know, none of that stuff was made up when I was enjoying time with my family. Those memories are good memories. I wasn't pretending to be something I wasn't in those moments. It's just that when I was away from there, I was also living another life. Now, I understand some of you may say, but, you know, that makes all of that a fraud. I don't know. I mean, I think that really it's the fact that there were two books, and what I needed to do was integrate the two books. But in the long run, I don't think, and that we, you know, Steph and I at least, we certainly look back and still are now able to cherish, to be at peace with those memories of the past. You know, we're, you know, it's almost like working through this thing and being, you know, working through the forgiveness, the issues, the amends, all of that really left us liberated people, you know, at peace with our past, where in fact, there are no regrets. I mean, I think to the second half of this question, what this season is about, in my mind, it's a season of miracles. It's a season of life, and certainly what we experienced was an incredible, new, you know, extraordinary life on the other side of this. And from a spiritual perspective, since this is a spiritual season, please remember it's always about death and resurrection, at least from the Christian perspective, death and resurrection. Death and resurrection. If you're going through this thing right now, you're at that place of death. But, you know, the whole piece of this, the whole part of this recovery, what it also shows for those of us who've walked through it is there is life on the other side. There is a resurrection. But you don't ever get to that place without first passing through the death. So it's by faith. It's not by knowing absolutely. It's by faith that we walk through this thing. And so what I recommend you focus on is new life. As you look around you, you bet, know that there's hope, that not all the world is black, but also know that, you know, at this point in time, what we celebrate, if you come from at least my faith perspective, from a Christian perspective, that it was God with us. That literally when things seem bleak and unsolvable and maybe irredeemable, God provided a way to get us out. And that way is still there. And it'll always be through descent. Every major lesson that you will learn after age 30, you know, comes through failure. It doesn't come through success. Think about it. You know, failure isn't like the worst thing that ever happened. I guess as I look at it, if God was able to take the worst thing that ever happened, which was the death of, you know, of an innocent man. It was the crucifixion, I think, of Jesus, who had done nothing but love. If he was able to take the worst thing that ever happened, you know, the God-man, and make it the best thing that ever happened, if you think about it, he took away all of our excuses at that point. I mean, how can he not take the worst thing that we're going through right now and make it the best? Because I think ultimately that's what God is about. And so our focus has to be on something divine, more than just what is right now, but an understanding of redemption and an understanding of life and new life and hope. And I know that doesn't solve anybody's circumstance right now, but just remember, you know, you never know the end of the story by the beginning. And all your memories aren't totally messed up. And yes, it's sad, and grief is sad, and I think that you may be grieving this season, but the odds are you'll be rejoicing next. And you'll have a life, I think, potentially that is far better than anything you've experienced. Yeah, this weekend at the emergency marital seminar, we were astounded by, I guess, the way that people had, as they told their stories, the mentors, how their life was better now than it had ever been. And it didn't take that long. So hopefully the two of you can join together, and this season will serve as maybe a catalyst to help you begin to go forward. Please get the help you need. If you decide, if you're dealing with infidelity, don't wait. Again, go see a good marriage therapist. Join 911 Marriage, but hopefully get something where you and your mate can work together and begin to heal, because you don't have to stay in a lousy spot. And what a great gift, and what a great story to tell later, you know, about how this season was the beginning of your redemption. So I want to thank everybody for their questions today, and I will talk with you next week. To healing.